back. Yeah, that's right. Survivor special.
Oh, did it freeze?
Robert.
Oh, no.
No, yours is frozen. Robert's internet is already going crazy. We'll blame this all on him. It's not on me.
All right, there we go.
Now he decides to come back in. There's nothing going on the entire time. Name. And now all of a sudden he's coming back in. What's going on, intern? What are you doing?
What's going on? I just watched a great episode of Survivor.
Did
so
you?
Much fun.
Did you? Yeah. Which channel was that on? Because I was on channel 2.
Whoa. Every episode of Survivor is good Survivor.
I can't wait to talk about this. This is going to be so much fun to break down. I love that your internet just went out. Interns, this is from Corwin Green, who is a patron. Intern's internet is as nuts as Elizabeth's lie. I love that. Like, yeah, way to actually go, man. This is your big intro into the Survivor world here. You get the premiere recap because Alexa's on a plane, and your internet glitches the second we hit start. Really dropping.
I didn't even, you were like, I can't believe I'm about to say this. And then I was like, oh, I'm ready. And then I didn't hear you say it because my internet cut out. So I guess super loser over here.
As Gamer Girl would say, intern's internet.
It was voted out.
We'll definitely break down this recap here. I'm very excited to talk about this. There's some things I really, really loved in this episode. There's some things I really, really hated in this episode. There's some things that made my mother say four-letter words that should not be said anywhere on the internet, but she was saying them because she was really mad.
Especially by someone's mother. That's a, you know, yeah, if your mom says something like that, like, ouch.
My mother's one of those truck driver ladies. So, you know, we had Janet, who was Queen Janet. I love that I can already start standing Janet. This is going to be so
Janet's incredible.
Amazing.
Janet is Lauren Rimmer 2.0, and I'm here for it.
But like better Lauren Rimmer. I got such a good vibe from her this first episode. Lauren Rimmer took a little bit to get going. Janet just comes in,
like,
makes
his
fire. Face,
just ready for it.
How long did it take her to make that fire? 5 minutes?
Oh my God, probably. 5 minutes of TV show and probably 5 minutes on the island.
Josh is not an artist, says Janet did get a lot of screen time for being in the tribe, not at tribal. Yeah, you're not kidding, especially since Dean Kowalski. There's a man named Dean on this season. Did you guys know
that? He has some great shoes. He's rocking those gray Air Force Ones. I think it's worth it, you know, having shoes like that.
That's how he got cast. It was having the gray Air Force Ones. So if you want to get cast, I also liked his jacket when he went to vote at night. He had a great jacket on. But yeah, we have a lot to break down here. I actually thought that the first hour of this episode was phenomenal. They did a good job of really introducing us to all of the characters, giving all of them really long confessionals. That was probably the thing I liked the most. It wasn't just jumping around like we see in so many premieres where it's, I'm going to win because I'm this, and I'm going to win because I'm this, and they're like all on the boat coming in. This, we really got well thought out, almost stories from every character, and I thought that was really good.
We got stories from like almost every person. The only people we didn't hear from were Aaron and Dean, I think.
We heard from Aaron, but not really a story. And I think that's why it was so blatant Ronnie was going home tonight, was because we didn't hear from the two people who were supposedly aligned with him. And everybody else got such fully fleshed out characters. They're really setting us up to like those Lyro people, except for Aaron and Dean and Ronnie. So when Ronnie goes home, like when it was between Ronnie and Vince or Ronnie and Elaine, I was just like, yeah, obviously.
Like, there was no way that they were going to send Elaine home after making us love her like that. Right?
No, absolutely not. I mean, her crying at Tribal, which, gosh, everybody who participated in our prop bet game, start throwing some shade at Alexa. Not yet, because she hasn't watched it yet. I'm sure she logged off of all internet. But she's the one who wanted to bring back cries a tear for the prop bet game. And this is why Will and I didn't do it. Everybody watched Vince cry tonight, right? Everybody watched Vince cry tonight. But did anybody see a tear? Because I sure didn't. So this is going to be so much fun. I know. I can't wait. I'm making Alexa figure this out.
I'm ready for all the screen caps and like you zoom in like right on his face and it's like these 3 pixels are a tear rolling down. Like, we don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Elaine's the only one I know for sure who cried, but I think that was her playing it up in case Ronnie had found an idol. Like I think we wanted, and maybe she was playing it up to Ronnie and Aaron to be like, hey, also, it could be Vince who's going home. Like, we don't want Vince to know that he's going home and he doesn't play an idol, because she kind of knew she wasn't going home. So I really like what Elaine was doing in this episode. We definitely are supposed to. She's the fan favorite, I think, after week one. That's at least what we're supposed to think.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I just don't think that is it going to last. How long is Elaine going to last? I think she goes deep in this game, but I don't know if this magnitude of how much we're supposed to like Elaine in this first episode is going to continue throughout the rest of the season.
Well, so what was crazy to me is I don't know like how much of a real reason this was for voting Elaine out, but they're like, yeah, you're too likable. We can't take you to the final three. Like, what? Like, it's day three. Like, don't worry about the final three yet. Just worry about anything else. So
remember,
if that's what the meta of Survivor is, like, I don't know how you even play this game anymore. Like, being likable isn't an option. Like, what do you do?
Well, and I think that goes back to just maybe some of these people. I think a lot of them are super fans, but, you know, Elizabeth, we'll talk about Elizabeth tonight, but clearly not a super fan. I'm not sure that Aaron or Dean, maybe Dean is, but I didn't get anything from him tonight. Yeah, saying somebody's too likable. I mean, remember, it was just three seasons ago that people threw a challenge to vote out Bradley, and I don't think they were doing it because he was likable. Love taking my digs at Bradley anytime I can. Yeah, I agree. Like, why would you vote? Why would that be your reasoning? Like, you're going to vote her out 20th because she's likable? Okay. And now you have to vote out 16 more people before you even sniff a final three.
Right. Exactly. Well, like, I'm going to vote out this person I'm friends with. Now I don't have any allies. Oops.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It doesn't make any sense. And Carl has a message. He says, you never really know, intern, until you play.
Right.
So, you know what, intern? Maybe you should just stop talking. Maybe that's what Carl's saying.
Maybe Carl should come on the show and teach me a lesson. That would be fun.
Yeah, that's what's going to end up happening. A couple things I did not like here. The voting confessional booth thing that Rob and Sandra were sitting in. I've never cringed more at Survivor. And I thought
it was really funny. I hope that they like wean it off a little bit. But like when Ronnie was like, yeah, I'm from Boston. And then Rob turns to Sandra and he's like, yeah, that's where I'm from. Like, that was really funny.
Bad. That was not a delay in internet. That's just me pausing for dramatic effect. Bad. I don't like it. Here's why I don't like it. Here's my real concern with it. It's the fact that it is Survivor telling us what to think about these players. Because we already know Rob. We already know Sandra. We already have feelings for them. Most people already like them. And who are they commenting on? Karishma is smart. So now the audience says, oh, we're supposed to think that Karishma is smart. And then it's, oh, I like Vince. Oh, we're supposed to like Vince. Why can't we just, like, I don't want to be told that we're supposed to think Karishma is smart, that Vince is likable, that, you know, certain players are good and that certain players are going to go home. Like, I don't want that. It's too much. And not only that, the episode title tonight comes from Sandra sitting in her damn voting box.
I mean, nothing's stopping you from not liking Vince. Like, you can have your own opinions relative to what Rob and Sandra say.
You can. No. You absolutely can. But what I'm saying is that's the purpose of this, it felt like to me. We didn't need to see the reactions. They could sneak in there and like, that's fine. I love it. It was like a Sly Cooper opening. If anybody's ever played the Sly Cooper games, it's like them when they go walking in and it's like he's on the rooftops above people who don't know he's there. That was them sneaking into the little hut, which I thought was good. You know, that's fine, but to constantly cut back to them and it's like you're not trusting the audience to be smart enough to figure out like, wow, what Karishma said is smart. We have to be told by Boston Rob or Sandra that what Karishma said is smart. Like, I can figure that out on my own, and so can the people who've been watching Survivor for 38 seasons or maybe only one or two seasons. It's not that hard to pick up on.
But I do like the sort of commentary of like they were talking like the contestants were saying, oh, it's hard for me to vote out Elaine because of this emotional story of like how you know, getting on the show and all that. And Rob was like, oh, would you do this, Sandra? And she's like, oh yeah, easily.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I thought that live commentary was really fun. And kind of like a nice contrast of what like the idols would do of like Rob and Sandra just like ruthlessly cutting out friends versus like these new people that have been to their first tribal council and like, you know, are all lovey-dovey and love each other.
Oh, we all know that because we've all watched the first three episodes of every Survivor season. And then we've also watched every finale of every Survivor season. So we know that it's going to pick up as we go on and that the cutthroat players are going to start coming out. Evil Vic is going to show up at some point. You know, like we know that that's going to happen. So I don't need to be told that. And also another problem, especially moving forward, that this is going to cause is some of the best parts of tribal councils and the most epic tribal councils we've ever seen in the history of the show is the reactions of Jeff. It's the reactions of the cast. It's so claustrophobic. They can't get out of there. It's just, this is us. And like, think about last year when Julia has her blow up. It's an amazing moment. You have Lauren's reaction. You have Julie running around. You have Jeff sitting there just being like, I don't even know what to say. If Rob and Sandra are watching that, they're going to keep cutting back to them. And it kind of pulls you out of the moment. because now you're almost like, oh, now I'm watching the spectators watch it. And like, we're already a spectator. So I hope that they wean this back a little bit as we move forward. I don't need it. I really just don't need it.
Right. I think as long as like they keep those big moments of like the whole like tribal reactions and watching like, you know, Julia's whole thing and seeing everybody, like if they keep that, because sometimes there are points in tribal council where you're just like, you're sitting down and you see all 10 of them there and it's like, yeah, whatever, I get it, right? I'm looking at them again. So mm-hmm. maybe if they replace those lulls with Rob and Sandra as opposed to like the bigger moments, I think it's fine. I do see why you don't like it though, and it does feel a little cheesy.
I am going to demote you so quick, but thank you for saving you with that last sentence. You're about to be demoted, but you did. You did a good job.
Proto intern.
He's growing up right before our eyes, kids. Well, which tribe should we start with here then? Let's jump away from the Rob and Sandra thing, because we're going to talk a lot about Elizabeth. I actually think we should start with the winning tribe, the Vokai tribe, purple, purple-ish. I mean, somebody's just wearing like, Tommy Sheehan's wearing like a light blue sweater. I love it.
Yeah, it's blue-ish.
You know? Yeah, it's blue-ish. It's purple-ish. It's not easy for those of us who are colorblind.
Are you colorblind?
Blues, blacks.
Me too.
Yeah, it's
colorblind people.
Purple, like, I don't know. It all looks the same. But anyway, I think we start over there. There was a couple things that came out of this tribe. Obviously, we had Janet, but I started with her right off the top. The thing that stood out to me the most is how much we heard from Molly Byman in this episode, despite the fact that Molly Byman is not going to tribal. And I thought that was really telling, because she was telling us, much like Rob and Sandra were telling us at tribal, how to feel about the things that were going on here. And it starts off where it's Dan is so good at giving back massage. And then when it starts to bother Kelly, we then have a confessional of Molly saying it's creepy, it's too much. And then her going around and saying that to Kelly and bringing it up to other people and kind of saying to Kelly, you should bring it up to Dan. I got really good feelings from Molly, and I'm really happy that I went back on my cast assessment and initial reaction to her and just like pushed her into like top two of my bootlist game, which we'll talk about people who had people in the final three of the bootlist game. But I had a really good, I have a really good feeling about Molly on this season, because she didn't go and she got a lot of content, and it was all overly positive. I mean,
yeah, it was all fantastic. Cool. It was strategic. I don't think we got a lot of like emotional content from her, but like still it was like, you know, we know about Molly now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we absolutely know about Molly now. We also know about Dan Spilo, and I think that everybody called it, but I think we're all like 100% accurate. He's going to be the villain of this season. And it looked like he was like trying to back off. He's like, yeah, I need to understand. Like, it's not the same. It's okay. You know, he was trying to be like the soft older guy. I don't think he's creepy. I think that's just to also add on to this storyline that eventually is going to get got by the women. But he was, what was his first confession? I mean, his first confessional was something like right along the lines of, you know, just the most villainous thing you can say on the first 3 days
like,
of Survivor.
That's how I get people to like agree with me. Like, this is what I want to do, and I'll be able to do that on Survivor and control people. Like, what?
Yeah,
like, that's super villainous.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that we're being set up for Dan to be a villain. I think that's why we got the touchy content, which honestly, like, it's so uncomfortable. It's so bizarre.
I felt so weird watching that.
So bizarre.
Moving over to Kelly, though, I thought it was a good sign that she was able to like, not just be like, oh, I don't like Dan because he's like touching me or whatever, but that she was able to go and like just like mend that bridge immediately. Like, yeah. I thought that was really like socially aware of her, and it's good that she's able to fix that like on day two or something.
Yeah, and we kind of said this before the season started. Vaughn totally agreed with us. Alexa was in total agreement. A woman's winning this season. And I know I picked Tommy Sheehan to win because he name dropped us in his confession or his interview with Josh Wiggler. But a woman is winning this season. I mean, this entire night was the women outsmarting the men, the women coming together, Kelly going and forgiving Dan, but all of the women kind of uniting behind that. Janet starts a fire in the first 5 minutes. Even Lauren, who really was invisible tonight, she got a confessional right off the bat. I think she's the first person from Vokai to get a confessional. So we're kind of seeing this all through the women's eyes right now. So it was a great hour and a half episode. And this is why every premiere needs to be an hour and a half. Last season, it was only an hour. This is why
every episode needs to be an hour and a half.
Every episode needs to be an hour and a half. We could, and imagine for season 40, when Rob and Sandra aren't on their own island teaching people how to play, an hour and a half episode, there's a good 10 minutes of Elizabeth over there at the Island of the Idols. So there's so much more that we can just get to learn. This is a really fleshed out 20 people. I feel like I know something about all of them right off the bat. I mean, Nora wasn't huge in this episode. And before we even saw the next time on Survivor, you had texted me and was like, Nora's kind of crazy.
Sure enough,
we watched next time on Survivor and Nora's going crazy.
Yeah, I regret that winner pick, but that's okay.
We'll move on from that. You also had Ronnie in third place on the bootless game. I just want everybody to know.
Oh, no. Yeah, okay, whatever. You win some, you lose some.
You're losing a lot here, intern. You're losing a lot. But yeah, it's funny, though, because you were able to tell that from the very little content we got from Nora off the bat.
Yeah.
And then it ends up being true for what's coming up in the story. And I thought we got a lot of really good story. One thing CBS should really work on is not spoiling what tribe goes to tribal during commercial breaks. They're going to have to fix that because that's just lazy and stupid.
Someone is getting fired.
They did it four times, five times. They did it four times. Oh, God. How does that get by? And like, I get on a normal show, it wouldn't matter. It'd be like, oh, somebody jumping off a bridge. And I get the main thing of Survivor is to show people putting their torches in. It's okay if for the rest of the season you show what you just showed here, but we don't need that. We get it. Survivor fans who are watching Survivor know what's coming up down the line. We've watched it for almost 20 freaking years. We get it. And for them to do that, and especially with people who look like Tom Laidlaw and Elaine and all that, you just know it's them going to tribal. And I literally just like threw my pen across the room. It was like, CBS, it's the premiere night. Come on. You got to get that under control.
You're like, is that the person that looks like Tom Laidlaw? Oh, it is, because it's Tom Laidlaw.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, orange goes to tribal, so we're always on the lookout for that anyway. And I was like, well, that doesn't look like Brendan Shapiro, and that doesn't look like Carl Boudreau, and that doesn't, you know, I mean, you just got your eyes peeled for it at this point. So I don't like that. I don't like that at all. They'll have to fix that up. It's probably just for the premiere. It didn't really ruin too much of the episode because that immunity challenge is a dreadful performance from Lyro. But
that looked so difficult, though. Like, that was grueling.
It was grueling. I'm just kind of surprised. It almost was like the pieces were stacked in a certain order where you could only use a certain amount, like a certain grouping of pieces for each puzzle. So why did they start like panicking? Like those pieces weren't going to fit together properly if like in any other way. It's not like you could accidentally put one on there. Like they're only going to fit together one way. And they started trying to pull it apart. And I just don't understand why they were doing that.
So I think like you can, I think there is a way for like, I was thinking about it. I'm like, how could you mess up the pieces, right? But like, if there were two empty holes, let me explain this. If both pieces like going together were all empty holes, then they could still fit even if like the pegs like didn't really align, right? So maybe like, I don't know if that makes sense. I don't have any like visuals or anything, but I think there is a way that you could have like a wrong piece go on something and then like completely throws the rest of the challenge off. So I think maybe that's what happened. And like, you know, if you think you have a piece right and it's wrong, and that could just mess up your whole thing. And I guess that's what happened.
Ryan Chan says, Mike Bloom said that one of them thought there were decoy pieces. I don't think there were decoy pieces because other tribe put that together way too fast.
Right. And we'd have to like look at the screen again, but like maybe like there weren't, I don't think there were any extra pieces on purple though. I think that's.
No, there weren't extra pieces. So I think that they just kind of overthought it. Maybe. And all they had to do was actually spin the piece around until it fit in. I think that they just messed up, man. I really do. I think Lyro just blew it.
Hey. Also, during that challenge, like, did you see Jack? Like, he, like, climbed his way up, and then, like, he was like, oh, people need me, and then, like, went back down the rope and was, like, grabbing people and pulling all of them up.
Yeah.
Like, he was pulling Jamal up, and Jamal's not a small dude. He was just like, boom.
Get
like,
up
that
here,
was crazy.
Jamal.
That was some insane challenge performance by Jack there.
Yeah, I thought Jack was great, and Jeff even said it was a hero move. And see, I'm okay with Jeff saying things like that, because that's what Survivor is. It's him commenting on what he's seeing. But imagine if Boston, Rob, and Sandra were sitting in like a little thing in the trees, and they looked down like, wow, Jack's a hero. Like,
that guy's cool. Yeah, exactly.
He's cool. But yeah, he was really good in that challenge. Their puzzle, they just put that together super easily. I like Dan giving everybody high fives before it was even remotely
that
close
was so
to being
funny.
Done.
I don't even know why they did that, but that was fun.
It was great. It was great. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. A couple other people that we haven't talked about on that tribe yet. One of them, Tommy Sheehan, he got a really good episode. It was a very small, it was a very, what do you call it? It was like all his time came at one time, but it was really good stuff that we got from him.
Really good content.
Yeah. Him talking about how he wants to be that person people come to one-on-one, all of that. Being a teacher, it seems like he's getting along really well with everybody. So I think that he's going to do, I think he's just set up to do really well. I think we kind of saw on the Vokai tribe today who the main players are going to be. Dan, Janet, Tommy. I think that Jack is somebody who's going to be around for a little bit, especially Molly. I think those are people, those are the ones that I'm really looking at right now as people who can go further.
What was your opinion on Jason? He did the classic blunder. I mean, they referenced it in the show, like went off and looked for an idol, and people were like, yo, why are you looking for an idol?
Yeah, dude, that was just bad. And I don't think he realized how long he was away. And when you're playing with people who are so such big fans of the shows and all that, you need to be wary of doing that. And he was, I'm going to go and I'm going to find an idol. That's what this game is. It's called Island of Idols, whatever. But you can't disappear on day one for 5 minutes. You don't know anybody well enough yet. You don't have that person you can trust. You can say, look, I'm going to go look for this. Can you kind of hold down the fort and tell people like, oh, he wasn't feeling good or something? Like you don't have that yet. And so you're just going off and looking for an idol. I thought it was a really bad move. Something tells me he's going to rebound from it. It just seems too easy that it would be him. I actually think he's going to end up finding an idol at some point and maybe idling somebody out. But I also don't think Purple's going to tribal anytime soon, especially after voting out Ronnie and just the way that the other tribe is set up. They just seem like they're in a much better situation together. They seem like they're a much stronger tribe.
And like, just because you have a bad first episode doesn't mean like, you know, you're going to do poorly. I mean, what, like Nick Wilson had a bad first
David
episode.
Wright.
Like, yeah. And then boom, you know, great characters. So,
yeah. And also, I mean, speaking of Nick Wilson, I thought of him tonight when Ronnie tried to say all the hardship he's gone through at Tribal Council. And I was like, man, Nick Wilson, like the way he was able to bond with his tribe, talking about the hardships of his life. And then Ronnie at Tribal being like, yeah, I was a bartender, worked at an ice cream parlor or something like that. Like he just like, it started off okay. And then he just kept going.
And
too
then it
was
like, it went on for like 40 seconds or something. And I'm like, dude, you gotta calm down.
Like, and it started getting to things that like, weren't bad. Like I dealt hands of poker and it's like, okay,
whatever. I helped my friend with his protein company. Yeah. Like that sounds like a normal job. Like whatever.
That sounds like it could be very, very rewarding.
Right.
Honestly. Like, right. I don't know. Was it Cliff Bars? Like,
Cliff Bars are dope. exactly.
No, I love Cliff Bars. I just like, I wonder with him.
So
that's like that whole tribe right there. Jamal also had some pretty good content. He seems like he's going to be the big puppy dog that Alexa expected him to be. Alexa was very on that, saying he just seems so nice and, you know, everything. And he seems like that's the way he's coming across. You know, it's always tough when you're the tribe that wins in the first episode because you're not going to be shown after the immunity challenge, which in this episode was at, you know, what, 50 minutes in. So for 40 minutes, we didn't see those guys. But I think that we got a lot of content from these people and a lot from certain people. And I'm just staring down Molly here. Like Molly to me just feels like big time edit in a first episode where she doesn't go to tribal and isn't somebody who goes to Island of the Idols, though next week she could go to Island of the Idols. Cause as we saw, Boston Rob was handed a note for the next person from the other tribe who's going, which I thought was very weird that they did it that way. It's fun, but I thought it was weird. Why are they doing it? So does that mean when Purple loses, that'll be the person who goes? Or does that person Purple just get like a wake-up call in the middle of the night and it's like, you're going to hang out with Robin Sandra?
So I thought, I think I saw this, and don't quote me on this, I think I saw this online, that the method that people go to Island of the Idols, like every time will change, maybe, or it's just going to keep alternating, which is kind of what it seems like. But I mean, yeah, maybe it'll be like one of those, like a Chris Noble thing where they're like, all right, you got to wake up in the middle of the night and then go, and then they'll teach you something. Like,
yeah.
Who knows?
Maybe. I do wonder, because then I saw that, I was like, okay, so does that mean Purple is just going? Like, how are they going to determine that? Because Purple still doesn't know that Island of the Idols is the thing you go to, because Jeff didn't tell Orange about it until after Orange had already lost the tribal or lost the immunity challenge. So they don't even know that somebody actually goes there. And then he has them just pick out of a hat. It ends up being Elizabeth's name. Elizabeth goes. Purple doesn't even know about that. And now, like, is that person from Purple, is that just already set up when, like, they get, like, they lose eventually or something? And it's just like, okay, you're the person who's going. Like, I'm a little confused how that's going to go.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited. It should be some quality TV. But yeah, I don't really know either. I don't have any other ideas of what they could do.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's jump over to the other tribe here, because that is where most of the action took place tonight, for sure. And I want to start with Elizabeth. And look, she seems lovely. She's super competitive. She said she didn't want to tell anybody she was an Olympian when she got out there. Within 5 seconds, everybody knew she was an Olympian. She's telling all the girls. She seems lovely. I am so happy that somebody who's as clearly not a fan as Elizabeth is, was the first person to go to the Island of the Idols, because it made it so kind of just like fake. And like remember when Jacob was the first person to go to Ghost Island? It's like, wow, this huge, huge fan is going to Ghost Island. That's awesome. That's how it should be. Like, he's going to love this. Because Island of the Idols is so ridiculous, I'm so happy it was Elizabeth, because I wonder, she must have watched Boston Rob and Sandra season before she went out there, but I know she has not watched every season of Survivor.
See, I thought she was just going to be like she was going to walk up to the island and then Boston Rob and Sandra were going to come out and she'd be like, who are you guys? I thought she was going to say that.
Genuinely. They might've filmed that more than once, intern.
I mean, I'm sure that they fed that to her if she hasn't actually seen, Boston Rob and Sandra play, but like, it was very different from Jacob Derwin, which I really liked.
And I thought it was great, because this is a twist that a lot of fans just aren't excited about. And so because of the way it was done, I love that it was Elizabeth. And I love that it was somebody who would think to challenge Boston Rob in a fire making challenge. Like, to me, it's just like, intern, what do you do if you're out there and Boston Rob says you could face me in fire or you lose your vote?
You say no immediately.
Immediately. Like, you're not going to win.
No, I mean, you go and then Roslyn Rob shows you how to make fire in like 10 seconds. And then you're like, ah, okay, I can beat that. No, you didn't know how to make fire until like Boston Rob showed you.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter, because she was in a good alliance. It didn't matter at all, like, what was going to happen. But she didn't need her vote. But my God, like, just sit there and say, no, I'm not going to do it. You have to know. And this is how I always feel about it. If you're a huge fan of Survivor, you have to know that things like the Idol Nullifier and anything new like this, the producers want to get into the show. They just do. I mean, that's just how it is. That's why they're putting this out there. So if you say, no, I'm not going to do it, don't think that production doesn't have a plan for that, because they're not just gonna be like, all right, Elizabeth, you bitter woman, get out of here. Like, that's not what they're going to do. They're just not going to do it. And like, I'm not saying she would have been bitter if she said no. I'm just saying, like, that's not production's mindset.
Especially on episode one. Like, they don't want to be like, man, no one got anything on episode one, right?
Yeah.
Like, of course they're going to like keep teasing you and tempting you and making you want
to. And I wonder what they would have allowed to offer there. And I bet what would have ended up happening is like, okay, look, I'm not allowed to start it with Flint, but you still lose your vote or something like that. Like, I bet that things would have just kept getting out of control. And I'm betting we're going to see this later.
I feel like Rob and Sandra don't like come up with it on the fly. I think all the lessons are like planned out or something. Yeah. And then like if someone says no, they probably have like a planned escalation or something, like, oh, we're definitely going to like, oh, it's good for 4 tribal councils.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that's absolutely what's going to end up happening on this season. I think that everything, I mean, that's the thing with Survivor. Everything's always planned out well ahead of time. So you have to be thinking like that. Like, if Chelsea Walker is the one who goes there, which I think this is the first time I said Chelsea's name, and we're 28 minutes into this podcast, which is crazy because Chelsea is going to be a star. But, you know, you get 28 and a half minutes into this podcast to hear Chelsea's name. But if Chelsea goes out there and she sees Rob and Sandra and Rob says, will you make fire against me? She's going to go, hell no, absolutely not.
Yeah, immediately.
Immediately, because that's the thing you have to do. So, you know, I honestly do like that Elizabeth isn't a huge fan of the show. I really do, because I think it made this a little bit more fun. Yeah.
And then she got back and she's like, I'm going to lie. Like, no, what? Someone's going to go to Island of the Idols again. And then they're going to be like, Elizabeth, Boston, Rob and Sandra are there. Like, did you not see them? Did you not go? There's going to be some corroboration.
it's crazy to me because imagine, intern, if you come back from Island of the Idols and everybody's like, what was it? And you just look at them and go, you're not going to believe this, but Boston Rob and Sandra are on that island. That doesn't hurt you in any way because everybody's just going to be right. Like, what the hell do you mean Boston Rob and Sandra are on that island?
Yeah. Like, I mean, this that whole like, oh, there were some pots and then I had to like throw something at a pot and then I didn't get anything. Like, what?
She's watched Ghost Island. We know that.
I guess it's believable, you know, but I don't know. I don't think I believe it.
Sounds no, funny. I think it's dumb, too. There's no reason to lie about it. It's just like, just go and just say, like, Boston, Rob, and Sandra there. And this is what I would do. And maybe I can say this because I watched it on TV. But I really believe that I would say Rob and Sandra are there. They literally sit you down. They teach you a lesson. Mine was making fire, which isn't going to hurt you until way later in the game. And that's if your tribe is even around at that point, because they're going to try to get you out before Final Four. But so what? By that point, people have figured out how to make fire and you've probably forgotten. It's been 36 days or whatever it is. So I would say they give you a lesson. They sit you down and you say, okay, they say, okay, do you want to make fire against Rob? And I said, no, that's what I would tell them. And even if you say yes, you just tell them, I said no, because I know I'm not going to beat Rob in a fire making challenge. It sounds ridiculous, guys, but I could not make this story up. I mean, I think it's so over the top. There's no reason to lie because the truth is too, like, you can't create that story. Chelsea couldn't create that story.
And like, someone is going to go. I think that's my biggest thing is that like, they don't know that like there's someone from the other tribe that's going to go next, but someone in the entire game is going to go to Island of the Idols again. And they're going to be like, yeah, I don't know what Elizabeth was saying, but she's wrong. And then a third person's going to go and they're going to be like, yeah, Elizabeth is still wrong. I agree with the second person.
Yeah, like, absolutely. I think whoever goes next is just going to say it. I honestly do.
Yeah. I have. So jumping real quick to the votes. They didn't do the no vote thing until like the very, well, I'm assuming they would have done it at the end, but is there like a history of Survivor keeping like the no votes or blank votes until the very end? Because like you could use that in a strategy. Like don't say like, oh, I was going to risk my vote. Haha, sorry for throwing you guys under the bus because I don't have a vote. You could just say, oh, I didn't get anything.
I don't think they were ever going to show it, to be honest with you. I don't think they were ever going to show it because it's awkward. And especially in a 10,
awkward, yeah.
They like it here because there's 10 people on the tribe and it's really not going to matter. It's really not. So like, and we've seen this in the past. I believe it was last season where it was, wait, there was an extra vote. Wait, there was an extra, where was that? Or maybe it was two seasons ago, whatever it was. But there was that feeling of like, wait a second, there was too many votes there. And everybody like had it click in their mind later. I think that's what have happened here is if it was 4-4 and Jeff says first person voted out Ronnie. And then you go, wait, but there could still be a tie. And everybody's going to look around at each other and say, wait, were there? There wasn't enough votes there. And then that's when it'll click in your head. I don't think they would have ever shown no vote. I really don't.
Right.
Unless maybe it was 4-4 and then they show no vote. And then it's
they might have done that.
And then there's one more. But if it's not going to be close, everybody voted against Ronnie except Aaron. Even Dean did, Purple Dean, who didn't hear anything from tonight. He even voted against Ronnie. So I think it was just such an obvious vote. There's no reason to show that and possibly blow up Elizabeth's game. Because that is kind of like it's like a weird line there where it's like, if we don't need to do it, why would you, you know, purposely?
Right. But if as a future Survivor contestant, you know that if I have to write down no vote, they're going to keep it until the very end. Like maybe you could use that as a strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So give me some of your takeaways here from this tribe. This is the one we got a lot from. What were you thinking of this whole entire tribe?
We're talking about Orange Tribe, right?
Yeah, not I think purple. We should move okay. on
just
to want, Orange.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure. I mean, we could keep talking about it, but yeah. Anyways, I thought it was really cool seeing like all the different dynamics because I feel like usually it's like, oh, big alliance versus small alliance. But now it was like, oh, we got like the three of Tom, Elaine, and Vince, and then we got like everyone else being the seven, but then we got like the girls alliance, and then we got like we saw like that group at the well before Elizabeth was back. And then we saw the other group where Vince came along and was like part of both. So it was cool seeing like, not just like, oh, here's like, it's a, cause there was like that discussion in the water with like, here's Ronnie and here's Elaine, and they don't trust each other. And like, it's Ronnie versus Elaine, but like all these like different moving parts, and like, where does it eventually land? And I think like that was really cool to see. Cause that's, I feel like Carl could, you know, fact check me on this, but I feel like that's closer to what Real Survivor is like, at least early in the game when like you still are trying to like feel each other out.
Yeah, this is a very old school feel, the way this opened. A lot of building, a lot of like, does anybody know how to start a shelter? And a lot of just kind of walking off in the woods, people pairing off, getting to see like the inner workings of these people. I love the alliance of Tom, Vince, and Elaine. I think that's a great alliance. It's one of those alliances you look at and you're like, that would never be the main alliance. And I feel like that is going to be the main alliance. I really do. I feel like that's going to be a huge, huge part of this season. And then the women's alliance was clearly there. And I feel like Vince and Tom are going to kind of get them through. And I feel like Dean and Aaron are kind of just sitting ducks right now. And so you'll end up where if this tribe were to lose again, Dean or Aaron is going home, which is crazy to think that two of the strongest guys are going to go right off the bat. But that's the way this tribe is set up. I mean, it seems like people like Karishma and Missy and Elaine and Elizabeth and Chelsea, they want to do the girls thing. They want to. But Elaine is really working her way in with Tom and Vince, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, if we're voting off Aaron and Dean next, like, what is the Survivor like thing anymore? Because usually it was like, vote out weak people pre-merge so that you didn't have to go to tribal council, and then vote out the physical threats at the merge so they don't win challenges, and then vote off people who are going to win the game. But now, like, we're just voting off people who are going to win the game and the strong people, like, pre-merge? Like, what do you even do now? Like, how do you navigate this game?
I think what's starting to happen, and we kind of talked about this with Vaughn a lot in our fantasy draft, where this has Jeff's fingerprint all over it, and there's a lot of super fans on this season. But a lot of super fans of Survivor are like nerdy dorks. Like, that's just what they are. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. That's just the general people who watch Survivor. I don't tell people I watch Survivor all the time because you feel a little weird. You know, people give you weird eyes. If you're like, I watch Survivor religiously and I do a podcast on it, it's like, oh, you're that guy. But like, that's because of that. You see people like Chelsea, who, I'm not saying Chelsea's not athletic or anything like that, but you know, Chelsea, I'm not going to sit here either and say that Chelsea was probably like the most popular person of all time, you know? So I think that when you start to get these nerdier Vince, Chelsea, Karishma, you know, who I think is a big fan, you get people like Dan and Janet, you start to get these people who aren't really the strongest. And so they kind of bond together because what they have in common is that they like Survivor. And then you get a Guatemala type situation where, you know, like, you kind of have these nerdy people left. And I'm sorry, I'm distracted because McKenna Finney just put up here, imagine telling people you're a $20 patron to a Survivor podcast. I love that. You know what? We love you for that. We love you for that. Become a patron. Anybody who wants to play our Power Rankings game, you can still become a $20 patron and play our Power Rankings game this season. That could still happen. McKenna Finney, way to come in clutch here. That could still happen because we're not doing it. People have to just submit their Power Rankings to us by this Monday. So if you're not a $20 patron yet, but you become one, you can still enter that. So still do it. And you can be as cool as McKenna Feeney and tell people you're a $20 patron. But all I'm saying is, I think that we're going to start to see this a lot more frequently on Survivor, and probably not in season 40, because it's, you know, we know what season 40 is. But beyond that, if we keep getting these super fans now of Survivor are the people who grew up watching Survivor. And, you know, yeah, some of them might be in it for the athleticism and all of that. Like, oh, I want to do the challenges and stuff like that. But for the most part, the huge super fans of Survivor are the ones who are in it for the strategy, and they want to outsmart people, and they want to look at everybody as like a piece of a puzzle. And if that's going to keep happening, we're going to start to see these Guatemala-esque final sixes. And yes, Stephanie was in that, but that was different. But, you know, where you have Lydia and Rafe and Judd and Cindy, and it's like, how did that happen? That's going to start to happen a lot more frequently. And I think this season, the way it's lining up, we might not have a muscle on the season by final 13.
Yeah, that's a very good point you brought up there. And like, I'm certainly for it. I'm down to see some game get mixed up. I mean, you know, maybe it'll make it harder for when people get on the show, but like, you know, that's Survivor. Gotta learn to adapt.
I completely agree. I think that it should. I think that Survivor always evolving. Remember, early on, it was always just vote out the weakest, oldest person. And then that started to kind of change a little bit, you know, around Marquesas, because all of a sudden the older people could hang around, and then Thailand. And I think that recently it's been get out some of these, you know, threatening women. That seems to be what who goes early. And I think we might see a shift to get rid of the threatening men first, because you don't necessarily need them to win the challenges. This whole challenge came down to puzzles. So whether you were an hour behind or an hour ahead, it doesn't matter if you can't do a puzzle. So you don't need Dean, and you don't need Ronnie, and you don't need Aaron. You don't need those types of players like you used to. You need somebody who can really kill a puzzle. And that's what we saw from the Purple Tribe. They just knew how to work together and put a puzzle together.
Yeah. And Ronnie, you know, maybe it was too schemey. I don't know. And if that's what gets you cut, like, there you go. That's how Survivor works now, baby.
Yeah, I think that Ronnie just came across insincere to everybody. I really think that was his biggest downfall. He just kind of seemed like, okay, I'm going to sit back, I'm going to watch, and now I'm going to approach you.
Elaine saw right through it. Ronnie saw right through it. Friend Elaine, and Elaine's like, this dude and I, like, we can't trust each other. I'm not going to trust him.
Yeah. Straight. I love that. And she just did the fingers, like, I knew right away. And I think that just speaks to the direction of this season. And, you know, you got Elaine here who is a lot smarter than people are going to give her credit for off the bat. And I think that's great for her. But, you know, another person who I thought had a really good episode, despite it being smaller, was Missy. I thought Missy had a really good episode. She had we got her whole backstory in this episode.
Oh, it was like the second or third confessional. It's just like, yeah. Hey, here's my entire crazy life. Like, wow, that's a lot for episode one, which is insane.
Yeah, I think that's great. And that doesn't happen often. We get the whole backstory. You know, even Nick Wilson in his first episode, he had the whole thing about his mom. And now we see this from Missy. And if I had a rank who got like the most, you know, dramatic personal content, it's Missy for sure. Absolutely, 100%, it's Missy. You know, Elaine got close a couple times, but we didn't hear everything about Elaine that we were reading in this pregame press. We got everything from Missy's pregame press in this episode. So I think that's really cool. I really like Missy. She was my winner pick beforehand, and I'm glad to see she's looking even stronger. And there, I don't see her going home anytime soon. So,
yeah, I agree. I think, you know, she's in it for the long haul. Missy's going to stay around, had that great personal content.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of Tom Laidlaw's game here? And I know we kind of talked about the entire alliance, but what did you think about his game kind of going with the weaker? I would say the weaker, but the weaker people when he is like an ex-athlete. We don't see that often.
I mean, I felt like it wasn't necessarily like the weaker people, but I mean, the reason they gave in the show was like, I'm going with these people because we are all the hard workers. And if that's something you can bond over, like, go do it. Like, take that and run with it. I feel like he would be able to, he seems like he's socially capable enough. He doesn't just seem like a meathead that's going to be like, I can't make friends with anybody. But I think he's doing well. I think he's playing a good game so far.
Yeah, I thought he had a really good episode. I thought he had like a really, really, really good episode. Like, very positive. He wasn't aggressive at all. Doesn't seem like he's going to be a bruiser. And he just seems like he's a nice guy. And it doesn't matter who you are. It just seems like if he gets along with you, he gets along with you. And I think he did a really good job of that in this first episode.
Right. Even though he's like, I don't know, 250 pounds of muscle or something, right? Like,
yeah. And he doesn't have a spleen. There's a fun fact.
What? How did you figure that out?
He had his spleen removed, and that's why he has that scar down his stomach.
Ah, fun.
Interesting, right? So
Surgeon Phil bringing you the knowledge.
If Tom Laidlaw wins Survivor, people without spleens, I'm pretty sure will be one for one on Survivor.
Someone's going to fact check you and you're going to be wrong. There's going to be like one or two other people that don't have spleens on Survivor, and they'll like 19th place on the season.
19th. Yeah, exactly. It turns out that it's,
you didn't know who else has lost Survivor without a spleen.
Bradley just texted me and said he doesn't have a spleen. So
really?
No, Bradley did not just text me and say he doesn't have. I'll check with him though. I'll make sure that he has one. Otherwise he could be our other one.
Yeah, there you go. Tom Laidlaw, Bradley.
What about the you made this crazy little prop bet thing. What props did we have tonight? Because we both texted each other. We said every single player on the season is getting less confessionals than Sandra and Rob. And tonight, yeah, Ronnie got less confessionals than Sandra and Rob. So what else did we have?
Oh God. Well, Ronnie had a confessional in every episode he was in because he was in one episode. Mm. We had Elaine cry a physical tear that like streamed down her face, which is pretty cool. So we had that. I don't think we had anything else.
Elizabeth went to the Island of Idols.
I was getting down to that. Did Elaine have more than 12 confessionals or 10 confessionals?
We'll have to check that. I normally check that the next day because people argue about it and then determine what actually the number is.
Reddit and that's what I determine it based off. So
yeah. And intern's updating this now because it's his baby. He's so excited. He made it look so pretty.
We don't have to manually enter them by hand now, which is great.
I know.
You guys do the work.
I know. So what's your overall feel?
Sandra's mouth got blurred. That was
Sandra would have gotten two things tonight because she had the episode title and her mouth got blurred. So it's really not we should have just put Sandra and Rob in there.
I saw this this like fan, you know how they like don't have the intros this year?
Yeah.
I saw this like fan thing on Twitter that I'll send to you later, but it was just like it was just Rob and Sandra's intros from like all their seasons like alternating. So it was like Rob, Sandra, Rob for like the whole thing. And it was really fun.
I love it. Oh yeah, that was by Wes Dorn, I'm pretty sure. Gamer Girl says Elaine Dean and someone else had their mouths blurred.
Did they?
We're gonna have to rewatch the episode.
We will.
I gotta get used to
that. And you know, we will thank Gamer Girl for pointing that out to us, keeping us on.
I gotta go back and start watching the episodes looking for that. I'm not used to it. I'm used to looking for, you know, episode title and crying and things like that, but I'm not used to looking for mouth blurred. I forgot that was on there. So I have to go back. We'll have to look for that. What's your overall thoughts? We're going to be moving forward here. A lot of episodes. We're going to have a lot of intern coming up. What are your thoughts overall and how are you feeling about how this is going to shape up? Who's your post episode one winner pick too?
Oh God. Well, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the season so far. I thought it was a great first episode. We got a lot of setup, and you need that setup to make it a juicy, nice finish of a season. So, my winner pick in the boot list was Nora. I'm not regretting that because I knew that was a risky choice. Let's go with Dean would be funny because I like his shoes, but I'm not going to go with Dean. Let's go. This is hard. Who's yours? Well, I think
it's going to be Molly. After what I saw in the first episode, Missy's my winner pick from beforehand, but we saw so much Molly tonight.
That's a good point.
For a tribe that won, I thought she had a really good episode. Maybe it's just a huge episode. We've seen that in the past where somebody has a huge episode week one and then goes home week two, but I thought she had a really good episode tonight. I really liked her. I'm happy I moved her all the way up to second place in my boot list game because I think I needed it. I like this episode a lot. There were certain things I didn't like. Like I said, I hope they tone down the Rob Sandra at tribal thing. I hope they tone down some of the Rob Sandra, even when they're explaining stuff to people, it feels scripted. And I know it's probably not, some of it is, but it just feels awkward because Rob and Sandra aren't actors. And I think like Rob kind of bought into a little bit more than Sandra did. And that's why we saw so much more Rob tonight than Sandra. But it just feels weird to me. Like it's different because when you watch Rob give a real confessional, he doesn't sound like he does when he was talking tonight. And it's weird.
I don't know. So, I mean, one season of it, we can deal, right? We've had weirder twists, Medallion of Power, but like, you know,
Medallion of Power. Yeah. But that one didn't really take up any time. Corwin Green. I remember when Mari Takashi got a huge first episode without going to tribal. We all know what happened to Mari after that.
We do.
And also Morgan Rickey had a pretty good first episode in Ghost Island too.
She did. Yeah.
Yeah. But she didn't go second. She went a little bit later. Third. Oh, that's right. She did go in the second episode. That's true. That's very true. And you know who had no confessionals in the first episode of Ghost Island? Bradley Clyhee. So all I'm saying is
your last name, right? I think I've heard you pronounce it like four different times.
He tells me every time that like I'm about to introduce him on here and then he disappears, which by the way, he's going to be doing one of our power rankings and predictions episodes coming up shortly. He says he can't wait to talk to intern. I had to get people lined up who are willing to deal with intern for their time and who actually doesn't like Alexa that much. So they would be willing to do intern. So we actually have a couple people who jumped at the opportunity. I don't know what
that's about. I hung out in real life, and now he wants to be in the podcast with me, which means we're officially best friends, I'd like to announce.
I think you guys are best friends. Just don't tell Bradley. And Bradley Carl says,
yeah.
Carl says, I think this is referring to Missy. She's my pick, Phil. Keep her name out of your mouth. I guess that means that he doesn't want everybody to start hating her the way that they all started hating Vic because of me. So, yeah, I don't know. But all that being said, intern, do you have anything else you want to add to this, or is this a premiere recap in the bag?
This is a premiere recap in the bag. That was a pretty good episode.
Yeah, I agree. We will be back on Sunday. It will be intern and I. It'll be 5 p.m. Eastern, or I'm sorry, Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. We will be with Rick Devins. Oh, yeah.
He's coming back. Oh, yeah.
He can't wait to talk to intern. He said the only way we do the podcast is it was intern. This is not true at all. I just texted him. Was like, hey, can you handle intern? And he said, I could try. So, you know, he said that it's going to be Rick Devins. Super excited to have Rick on Sunday. If you want to be a patron, like we said, you can still enter our $20 power rankings game. It's not $20. It's not like you're gambling. It's $20 to become a $20 patron. We also have a lot of season 40 material that is for the $20 patrons. So if you become a $20 patron, you get all of that season 40 material, which is all on our Patreon. We also have different tiers, $1, $5, $10. You don't have to be 20.
If you don't have $20 to contribute a month, you know, $1 a month, that we certainly do appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly. So you could just come on. You know, we have different tiers. We do Q&As. We have a Facebook group. We do retrospectives. Alexa and I just casted two different seasons of Celebrity Survivor. So if you want to hear that, it's pretty good. We name drop one of the people that we name dropped made Chris Dixon really excited because it was an Australian, and Chris Dixon is an Australian, and he just like was so excited that we had name dropped Samara Weaving. So anybody who's a Samara Weaving fan, you can hear her get cast on Survivor. If you're not a Samara Weaving fan, then you're probably just not Chris Dixon. So that's about all I have to say about that. But if you want to be a patron, follow us on Instagram, on Twitter at Survivor Specialists. And intern, did I forget anything else? I know this is normally Alexa's job, but I think I might've just stolen her thunder.
I was like prepared and ready to do the whole Alexa outro thing, but I think you did a good job there.
I want you to practice it in the mirror a couple times.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, if you practice in the mirror a couple times, you know, and then we'll let you do it. Maybe after Rick's interview, maybe Rick will have you feeling good, and then he can put you on the spot because Rick could probably memorize it in a second. So,
oh yeah, like newscaster, he's you know got that unlocked.
Yeah. So yeah. We will be back on Sunday. Like we said, Alexa might appear every now and then. We don't know really what her schedule is going to look like because of the MLB playoffs. So, Lucas Silver, I do apologize. Not having Alexa as a post-premiere recap makes zero sense. We get it. Trust me. Alexa wishes she was here. She's on a plane. So, she's not here. Yeah, she knows she got voted out.
Yeah, she like couldn't even like react to any of this, right? It's not like she was like, oh, I'll watch the premiere and then not podcast. Yeah. Like, she's like 30,000 feet up right now.
So. Yeah, exactly. So hopefully she flew JetBlue and she can watch it. But if not, so too bad. But anyway, we will be back Sunday. As I said, keep an eye out on Twitter for the official time, but I'm pretty sure 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And yeah, we'll see you later.
Bye.